Wake up informed. It's Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on the Beacon.
It is Hudson Valley Focus live and local on the Beacon. In studio with me, Steve Frazier is back. Unionvale, I don't know, the king of Unionvale.
No kings.
No. A supervisor.
Right.
So turn his mic up just a little bit, if you will. There you go, where you come closer. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Good to see you. Appreciate you having me back again.
Good. So, boy, I tell you what. You heard me talking about the pathway that the governor has us on with, 2026 is just days away at this point in time. We have these mandates on building codes and all that.
Right.
Steve Frazier, this is insane.
It is. And, you know, I was approached by Kelly Allegra is the personal assistant to the governor and requested an interview with me and to speak about the state policies and such. And, we had that conversation, and I spoke to her about this code change and several other things, how they don't work well in rural towns such as ours. They may be more configured for the cities and such, but in the rural areas, we don't have the services both private and public to supplement them.
This is what's wrong. The different areas of the state, first of all, the idea that we can even think about going to everything all electric when we know that here across the state of New York, the Hudson Valley, we do not have the capacity to support it. So why in God's name, if you know we don't have the capacity to support it, and that making these mandates is further going to stress both the grid and the supply, which then in turn drives up prices, right? Supply and demand in the marketplace. What is wrong up in Albany and educating the public, Steve Frazier, as to what's really at stake here? I mentioned this a few times before. A couple of years ago, I go into a meeting up in Kingston about energy issues. And there were, I don't know, maybe 60 people there. Most of them, when I listened to conversations, had little to no understanding of these issues and were of the opinion we were ready to flip a switch and go green. We could just shut down, an Indian Point or, take these other power plants offline and that, wind and solar, we need to go that way.
Yeah, that's why your show is so important, Tom. You bring these facts out to light where otherwise the rest of the media is asleep at the wheel and just going along with whatever they're fed. You and I both know that our grid can't support this.
No.
Solar energy is at best good 12 hours out of the day. Wind-powered, stuff is, again.
Solar, when you look at it over a 12-month cycle, okay? I mean, we got winter where it's not light. We got cloudy days. We got snowy days. At best, solar is good for 15 to 20% of its nameplate capacity. And Steve Frazier, I don't understand why, with all the consumer regulations that we have, if I go to the butcher shop and I buy a pound of hamburger, I want a pound of hamburger. And the county weights and measures comes in and certifies that, scale works properly and I'm getting my pound of hamburger. Well, if I buy a thousand watt solar panel, well, is it going to give me 1,000 watts? No. It's going to give me 150 watts.
Right.
How is the public, why are our consumer fraud people allowing people to be deceived in this way?
Yeah, that's a good question. I wish our state representatives would be more responsible.
We have state representatives?
Well, we do on paper. But, I wish they would be more responsible in getting accurate information out to us.
I just am at a loss on the wind power in the state of New York. It just is not viable. It is not viable.
Agreed.
We're, you know, okay, maybe a little bit offshore, but there's other technological problems there. You can go on the U.S. federal government's website and just do a simple search for wind corridors in the United States at the 250-foot elevation. You're going to find it from Texas right up through, the Midwest up toward Canada. Go either side of that. No. But even when I make my trips back and forth to Colorado, when I'm in, Nebraska, Iowa, which are right there, dead center, there are times those great big wind turbines, which number now in the thousands, are standing idle.
Wow. Yeah, that's not a good thing. You know,
no.
Huge investment put into them with no return.
And we've never made the grid robust that we need to connect those solar panels, wind turbines, in a solid way to the grid. So you got some notes there in front of you. I've been, kind of talking a lot here, but you got some notes in front of you there.
Well, New York State does help us out. I mentioned earlier before we went online that, we get CHIPS money from them, which is
Consolidated local street and highway improvement.
Right. It's money from the state that is specifically tagged for highway repairs and improvements.
Let's be clear about one thing. It's taxpayer money.
It is. I mean, that's the only source of revenue that the state has.
Not state.
Right. It helps us out because we have a small tax base in our town, just because of the size and density. But on the other side of that, you mentioned the code change, and starting in 2026, no new home buildings can have gas or oil fired appliances.
Yes.
They have to be all electric homes. And, that code change is going to cost us several thousand dollars just to put on paper for the public to see, and then the enforcement of it.
Right.
And our residents are going to be saddled with the electric bills rather than, more efficient gas or oil-fired heat sources.
And then with power outages in the wintertime, you're done for.
You mentioned that, and this was something else I thought about. An all-electric home is going to require a larger standby generator than one with gas or oil-fired appliances.
Absolutely, because with gas or oil-fired appliances, especially a furnace, you can use a relatively small generator to power that up.
Yeah.
And also to do your well pump out in these rural areas. I have geothermal heating and cooling. I have three compressors, three different zones, and it's my choice to do it. But in order to power that and keep everything else going and the well pump and all, it required the installation of a 26 kW generator system, the generator system. And I'm very happy we did it, but it was a substantial investment, not an investment that a lot of people can make or are willing to make for the times that we actually need it. We're up in our 70s now, and we made the decision that this is something at our point in life we needed to make the decision. Very glad we did.
Right.
But again, this can become a burden on somebody.
Sure.
Hold that thought.
Yep.
Hold that thought. Steve Frazier, Unionvale Town Supervisor, in studio with me. Let's hear from the Zolls at 7:16 with the Sports Report, and then back with more with Steve on the Beacon.
Now, back to Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on the Beacon.
7:21 on Hudson Valley Focus Live and local on the Beacon. Speaking of local, Steve Frazier, Supervisor, Town of Unionvale, in studio with me. Before we come back to these unworkable state mandates. You probably got some good events happening out in there in Time Warp Park and as we head toward the holidays and all, right?
Okay. Yeah, we have an upcoming movie night just before Halloween at Time Warp Park. And then the first Saturday of December, we have our grand illumination, we call it. The Parks Department decorates all the buildings and with Christmas lights. And we host a little party for the kids with Santa. The fire department brings Santa in, and there's beverages and refreshments. It's real nice.
And Steve Frazier, when did you say that is?
That will be the first Saturday December. And it starts, I believe, at 4:30 p.m.
Okay. Okay. See, I knew I knew you guys were on top of it, and there'd be something great going on out there. I mean, what a fabulous facility Time Warp Park is.
Yeah, we're trying to recreate the community spirit that I grew up with.
Yes.
And it's really coming around.
Well, that's a good thing for sure, and that's where having somebody from outside, from state government, come in who knows pretty much nothing about our communities. And these kinds of mandates, that they just are not workable, period. That's not a political statement.
Right.
We talked about the fact that in these rural areas, when the power goes out in the wintertime, what kind of problems are we faced with?
Well, we got you got heat issues, and I mentioned that I grew up in an all electric home.
Yes.
When we had power outages, there was nothing at all that we could do at home. When I built my house, I put in a propane range, for that reason, so that I could continue to cook through a power outage.
And that's what we have as well, and of course, not to mention that my wife does a lot of cooking, and most cooks like gas ranges far better than electric.
You're able to regulate the heat far better than you can with an electric range.
Yeah, so all the power outages we had over the years before we had the generator, we always had access to be able to use the propane gas range and to be able to, boil water, have hot food. And at times we would run a small generator to keep some lights on and all.
Right. And now the state has taken that option away.
Yeah.
I believe it should be a personal decision.
So
so
frozen pipes, in the wintertime, if people can't get enough heat in the house because you're not going to run that electric heat especially for people with compromised health conditions, seniors in particular, hypothermia is a real issue.
Right. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense.
No, we're talking about a real threat to the health and welfare of citizens.
I agree. One of the other things that they've also mandated is electric vehicle purchases by municipalities. And we both know that that's not feasible here in the Northeast.
No.
That maybe in the inner cities that they can do that, but out here, especially during the winter months,
I mean, New York City back a couple of years ago experimented with getting the electric powered garbage trucks.
Right,
they couldn't even make it.
Right, they ran a 4-hour shift, and they had to spend 16 hours on the charger.
Right,
and they parked them.
Right.
Yeah, and they were thousands upon thousands of dollars.
And so when you're saying that municipalities mandated for electric vehicles, what kind of vehicles are you talking about?
I believe it's 10% of your highway fleet is supposed to be electric powered by a certain date. I don't know the particulars on that, but that's one of the mandates that has come down to us.
We talked about this yesterday. Robbie looked it up, the fact that, the governor's not mandating that you buy an electric vehicle by 2035. No, they're just outlawing internal combustion engines by 2035. Steve, I'm kind of confused. What does that leave us for an option?
Yeah, it doesn't leave you much option at all.
I said, Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble.
Yeah.
That's what we're taking us back to. I know I'm being facetious about this, but these are serious, serious problems.
Yeah, I'm curious how that is written to whether or not you can buy a vehicle outside the state and then be able to register it.
Probably
here.
Not.
Yeah.
My guess is probably not. Now, there's been some changes at the federal level that we're going to have to look into this further. It would be nice if I had a congressional representative who could respond to these things, but he seems not to want to answer these legitimate questions.
Yeah, I've been hearing some things as well that are coming down from that are relaxing some of the requirements, and I hope, you know, that becomes nationwide and will help us out as well.
Steve Frazier, how we got into this situation, this is, I have to say it this way. Voters who go to the polls and flip a lever because somebody has a certain letter after their name, but the voter doesn't understand the critical nature of these issues. And getting that message out is very difficult.
Yeah, voter apathy is a major problem here, you know, and the other end of it is, you know, the mainstream media, I hate to use a cliche like that, but, you know, they're signed on with a certain agenda.
Yes.
And only put out news that supports their agenda. I urge the voters to do their own homework. There's other sources of information, and online is an excellent source, to learn who their candidates really are.
Right. Well, I was talking earlier about the New York State website where you can look up, you know, your polling places, who are your representatives, or at least the districts that you're in for local, state assembly, Senate, Congress, etc. You can very easily find that information on the New York State Board of Elections website. We have about 2 minutes left, and how do people contact you to learn more about what's happening in Unionvale, to support you, to become involved in the community?
Well, we just launched a new website. It's at unionvaleny.gov. And in there, you can go to any of the departments and find the email addresses to those departments. You can find my email address there as supervisor@unionvaleny.gov, as well as any of the town board members. That's probably the easiest way. And then our main phone number is 845-724-5600.
Well, I have known you now a number of years. You had been a listener, and I think it was probably one of the first or second times I ever did the broadcast from Dutchess County Fair. You came over and introduced yourself.
Yeah, I'd have been listening and wanted to put a face to the voice.
Yeah, and I've known you all these years now to be somebody who, you know, cares deeply about the community, to other people in the community. And as you said, a lifelong resident of this area.
Yeah, you know, it was a little different then growing up. It was a tight-knit community, and everyone helped each other out when, you know, times of trouble came around.
Sure.
And that's what I'm trying to go back to.
And fortunately, for a large degree, local people, to a large degree, still do that. But
right.
When we get the outside interference from Albany, who want to issue these dictatorial changes that are destructive to our area, and that's what they are, and they do literally put people's lives in danger.
Yeah, I agree. You know, there's several other topics that the state is mandating that we could come back and revisit.
You please do. Let's keep this conversation going. We can keep it going every couple of weeks here, and because 2026 is only a short distance away.
Yeah, it is. You know, before you know it.
And this stuff is coming at us, you know, full speed ahead. 7:30 on Hudson Valley Focus Live. Andrew O'Grady, CEO of Mental Health America, scheduled to join me next. And Steve Frazier, thank you very much for coming into the studio.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
You're very welcome.